You're listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. This is Campus Connection, and it is Tuesday, March 10th, 2020. Joined in the studio today by School Superintendent Erica Klute-Painter and Acting School Board President Sarah Holmgren. Welcome to you both. Sarah, you just had a birthday. Happy birthday, I think.
Yes.
Welcome. And you've taken over the acting role with Mara Lutomsky stepping down from the board the last year.
I've done it before, so it won't be too different, but I will admit I might be a little rusty on running meetings. So.
Okay, well, let's dive right in. We welcome your questions and comments to 772-3808. If you'd like to ask something, call in. We'll put you on the air. We're going to talk about a little bit about coronavirus since it's so big in the news. And Erica, you're going to be giving a little bit of a report on the latest things you've been doing and keeping in touch with, keeping an eye on. What's the latest out of the school district? Are there big changes because of coronavirus currently?
Currently, we're kind of in that stage of getting a lot of information. So last week, I participated in, there was a kind of a statewide teleconference with school districts and state health officials, and we actually have another one tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. We just got a notification of that this morning. We had a local emergency planning committee meeting on Thursday, which was also helpful, and there were lots of, that's more of a... the local impact and just conversations about everything from, you know, school districts to planning through the emergency services department, through the hospital, public health, people there from AML, from Hammer and Weekon. You know, there was kind of that whole conversation about goods and services and commerce and school and, you know, just the whole gamut. People always look to the areas where there are lots of people gathered, of course, which is, I mean, a school is one of those places. So we are currently, we do have regular kinds of systems of cleaning and monitoring, that sort of thing. But we are, of course, stepping those things up. We have our maintenance custodial staff is great on top of that. We've already been, you know, we got to see the fabulous ray gun last year already. So it's a kind of that chlorinated cleaner. So the good thing is this virus does respond to sort of typical kinds of cleaning products. So it's not necessarily a matter of needing to get some sort of really big, fancy, specialized cleaning supplies. We have those supplies. So it's more a matter of good hygiene, you know, reminding kids over and over and over and adults over and over and over about good hand washing and just hygiene in general. Lots of extra wiping down of flat surfaces. You know, of course, it's a little petri dish, especially with our younger kids. Lots of reminders about the hygiene and the hand washing and lots of extra just wiping down. So we have lots of materials around for staff to do that. Lots of extra time wiping down, you know, the doors and the handles and just kind of those high use areas. And then just really encouraging people, if you have a fever, if you have those specific symptoms, please stay home.
Yes, about that. So you've already had a lot of kids staying home and staff and everybody staying home with the flu that's been working its way through the community.
Exactly.
Right?
So. And actually that has been, you know, that whole thing a few weeks ago, well, it's been probably a month to 6 weeks now, but boy, that was a pretty big hit to the community as well. We kind of stepped up efforts during of cleaning and that sort of thing then too with the flu and strep throat. We got hit pretty hard with that as a community, staff and students.
There are ways for students to keep working, keep studying if they're staying home. I know the senior, the high school all has laptops and can do work that way. At the lower levels, are there ways to keep up on studies?
There are. And actually, we're having some of those meetings currently. We just met again, in fact, this morning. We've had several of those, just our kind of admin team, planning team, talking about what that might look like as far as even, you know, just preparing, you know, not panicking. That's what we keep saying. We are preparing. We are not panicking. Over and over, we keep saying that. We are very well set up and equipped in the high school. The middle school will not be a very difficult leap either. The students currently already have laptops that are assigned to them. They don't take them home, but we would have a sign-off process for doing that in the event that we were, you know, needing to do that. We were prepared for it. K-5 is a different world. We are prepping and having conversations about what that might look like for whether it's hard copy kinds of materials that would be available for students, especially with our younger kids. Our fourth and fifth graders, we would be talking about deploying tech for them as well, and potentially even with our K-3. We have iPads available for each student. We have the capability of locking down to certain apps that might be required by staff. We would figure out communication routes for emailing and working directly with parents on that, especially, you know, we're not asking kindergartners to log into an email address. They don't have one, and we don't want them doing that. So we would have a, you know, we'd have a system for that.
Because we're talking about the very real possibility about a really extended time off from school or work if you're a staff or student, mainly with this coronavirus, because it's seeming like it's taking a long time to get test results back, even to get tested and identify if this is the coronavirus versus just the flu. So
Exactly. And I think that's the part that's been challenging, too, just as a kind of a community and really, I guess, just across the country. That's our nation. I mean, that's internationally, too, right? I mean, that's what they're doing in Italy versus, you know, what's already been happening in China. How are people responding to things in some of those the sort of red zones or whatever they're calling them across the country now, right? Florida, California, Washington, just kind of looking at that.
And we are seeing school districts shut down. You're not at that point. Are you looking at that as a possibility long term?
We are acting under the guidance from, you know, the State Department of Health and Human Services and then through CDC and health professionals. So, and working with our local emergency, you know, preparedness crew as well and kind of taking the guidance from there. It's been interesting to watch how that's going. Right now, there are no schools or districts that are closing down in the state. Most of the districts are not allowing sort of at, you know, large international travel or large groups that might be traveling out of state. They've kind of curtailed that. I know Anchorage sent that out about a week and a half, week ago, maybe a week and a half ago. They're not doing any international or out of state travel.
And does Petersburg School District have any other out-of-state or out-of-country?
This is not a close-up
up
year,
okay.
So that would be the next, that'd be a big trip that would be potentially happening in the spring. This is not a year for that, so we're not doing that. We do have students at regionals this week. They're doing a lot of protocols and planning up there for that. They've been working on that for a good solid week as far as just housing and preparation for that and procedures in place, you know, even within the gym setting, within the school setting, all of that. So they feel pretty confident with that. And again, they're working with the healthcare professionals and Department of Health and Human Services on procedures.
Okay. And but not curtailing any in-state travel for students or staff?
At this point, no.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where we are.
Sarah, any thoughts on coronavirus as a parent?
I don't want to use the word indifferent, but I figure, there's some element to the island life that becomes quite appealing when you're dealing with something like that. And I think, and I'm also one of a person, I don't start worrying till I can't control the situation. And I feel like we're doing a good job at getting ahead of it, and it may never even show up on our island. So, you know, but by getting ready and going through kind of the motions, whether it's this illness or one 10 years from now, we'll have hopefully be prepared for whatever might show up on our island. So, you know, at this point, I'm not worried about kids traveling within the state. I mean, I can see the concerns when you get a large group together, but if we don't have any in the state, then you're passing your usual germs that we all pass among each other.
Yeah.
So,
and I think the thing is too, that, I mean, really, closing one aspect of a community, like even if it were just the school or just the hospitals or just the child care facilities, that sort of thing, I think you have to have really more of a concerted overall effort if you're looking at that. And really, and that's what they talked to us about last week from a public health perspective, with as much, you know, we're a mobile society. So there are the likelihood that a case will end up here is quite possible. Actually, I mean, that's what they told us last week, like just say that out loud and sort of accept that, like there could be somebody here now, actually in our community, because people travel in and out, and there are also people who have very, very mild symptoms or no symptoms at all, you know, so it's just that whole kind of keeping things in perspective, trying to not overreact or, you know, but be prepared, but not overreact, you know, that sort of thing. So that's what we're just trying to follow the guidance. So I'm not a medical professional, so I'm good at following directions. I'm good at asking people to do extra kinds of wipe downs. Everybody's great about that kind of thing. We're all used to germs, so everybody is happy to, you know, utilize the cans of things that we have around and do extra wipe downs of anything around. And we're also good at harassing kids about washing, washing, washing. They're sick of hearing it from us, but we don't care. We just, you know, when did you wash your hands? Didn't hear the water. Go back in. You know, we're good at that.
Right. Cough etiquette and shaking hands. Yep. No longer shaking hands.
Yep.
I will say I see cough etiquette better among younger children than adults.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's because we started harping on them for right away, and then you get, I still see adults coughing and sneezing into their hand and
yes, like, I would agree with you.
No,
I would agree with you. Kids are better about that.
They might not be about the hand hygiene, washing well, but they're good about coughing into their elbow.
It's true.
Okay, so you have an update on that. Also, a second reading of the policy on what to do with a pandemic or epidemic. You like what that policy says?
Yeah, I think we got a little bit of feedback from the public. So there might be a slight amendment to it, and mostly it was clarifying that policy. One of the concerns was, would we have some sort of authority on quarantining people? And really, our authority at the school district level only lies when you're on campus with us. Your parent comes to pick you up. You've been quarantined because we think you have, whether it's this illness or another one that is highly contagious. We're going to quarantine you until your parent or guardian comes and picks you up. And at that point, our responsibility ends once you've left campus.
Meaning keeping you away from the rest of the student
Correct.
Body.
Correct, correct. And there was a little bit of concern from a community member that somehow we could reach further than that. And that certainly isn't our intent. Our intent is only control on school campus, or I guess if they're traveling, if we have some sort of need to, you know, a kid comes down with an illness while they're traveling. The intent of the policy is definitely only controlling the campus itself, not once you leave campus.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Erica, you mentioned travel with a lot of students up in Juneau this week. They're getting there all by plane, I assume.
They are.
There are enough seats on Alaska Airlines. Is that going to hit the district financially to send them that way versus the ferry?
What they were able to do when this really became apparent that the ferry was not going to be available and an option, because this is such a huge regional event, they and Jamie is, you know, he's the president of the Region 5 Activities Association, and he sits on that board, and so there was a good communication with Alaska Airlines about, you know, there's a large number of kids and adults and people that are traveling potentially for this, and so they were able to offer us a very reasonable deal, and like they keep saying, this is a one-time thing. This is not, you know, we can't do this for everything and forever and all that, but they were able to work with us, which was really a huge thing. That being said, we also have some very challenging travel arrangements. So we've had, you know, we had basketball players that left yesterday. We have pep band kids that are leaving tomorrow. And so the overlap is also, getting back is also another issue. So we have our pep band kids are actually going to be staying longer, like into their spring break, Monday or Tuesday of next week, just because of the way the flights are. So, and then if our kids make it to state, our basketball players, then they of course will have that priority to be able to, you know, be able to get up there when they need to. But yeah, Alaska Airlines has been great about working with us on this particular event. But beyond that, I know we have some parents that are already kind of choking on the cost of how much the flights are to Anchorage for state.
Yes. So, okay.
Yeah.
And then the next thing is there's Music Fest this spring and track and field, although the ferry is back up and running by mid-April. So
that's what they're saying. And I think I was telling you just before we started that the Music Fest is the next, that's the probably a bigger large group concern as far as transportation. That's, again, the bulk of the kids in Southeast are all scheduled to be on that ferry together. That's a larger concern right now as far as this kind of coronavirus conversation. You know, as you heard on the news probably last night, this morning, that's what they're saying to people. Do not get on cruise ships. Okay. Don't be penned up together on the cruise ships, and people who have, of course, underlying conditions or are older, but it's probably not the wisest decision to have 500 kids on a boat for 20 hours, you know, might not be the best idea. So anyway, we have a little bit of time for that, but I do know that's something that's being discussed currently, like right now.
Okay.
As a concern. So.
And you have a resolution on the Alaska Marine Highway System, adequate funding for it, passed by the Board of Directors of the Southeast Regional Resource Center, of which Petersburg School District is a member, and you're wondering if the school board wants to do something similar for a statement?
I think that it would not be a bad idea. All the superintendents sit on this board for CERC, and so we worked through the process, and Jamie actually was involved in helping us getting some of those different numbers, too, talking about increase in cost, 40% increase in student transportation already across Southeast Alaska, the running impacts on, even beyond schools. I mean, just the commerce in general, and we're seeing it already in the fishing industry and getting goods back and forth, and, I mean, it just continues to extrapolate, into all of our smaller, especially our really remote communities that don't have other options. So I just thought it would be good to just bring it up maybe and discuss it with the board and see if other Southeast communities are considering as their local boards. Just every opportunity I think we can have to bring the issue to the forefront is important.
Sarah, you like that idea?
I do. Yeah, and I'm sure I can't say 100% that everybody on the board would be supportive of it, but I think in general everybody would be, just because of the impact it's even had just on our own community, and then hearing about other communities that don't even have plane service. So, it's more than just moving kids.
Yeah.
It's also affecting, like you said, commerce between the different towns and
food and all.
Yeah, I think the more we can harp on it, if beat our drum.
The school district has lobbyists in Juneau, and that's, I imagine, something you keep on him or her.
We don't pay anybody.
Okay.
I get to be that person.
You're the lobbyist,
okay. Karen, we have, and our board members are. We are the people that do that. So,
okay.
We spend lots of time doing that, too.
I do feel fortunate, though, when we do go to Juneau, that our representative and our senator sit down with us each time.
They do.
They make time for us.
Yep.
And, so
absolutely.
I'm very thankful for that. And so I think that's probably where we haven't necessarily felt a need to have someone on the ground there all the time for us, is the willingness of our representation to talk to us and hear. Feel like we're being heard. Whether they can do anything about it or not is another story, but it's just at least feeling like we're being heard.
Yep, I agree.
All right. Also tonight, you're going to be recognizing Mara Lutomsky, who it was the legislative liaison.
She was. She kept up on that really well for us.
I know. She's so good at it.
I teased her, though. I said, you have to still help as a community member now.
She's kind of a
legislative junkie. Yes. I got a text from her the other day.
I did, too.
There is a vacancy with her stepping down. Is that published yet? Are you starting to look for people and getting any interest?
Yes. Or? We reluctantly accepted her resignation, so. I don't know if we've had any interest yet, because we'll just leave it open for a certain period of time. I think it's 20 days. Is that what
30.
We have?
30.
And hopefully we'll have some interest in it. And the nice part is, I think we say this almost every time when someone resigns mid-term, is that when you're appointed, you have to be elected in October. So it's kind of a good dry run to see if it's something you have time for and you feel like you can commit to. Or you find out, no, this is more of a time commitment than I can handle. And so that's fine, too, but it's kind of a nice short stint, especially now until the end, till October.
Yeah.
Okay. So if people are listening out there, if you'd like to get on the school board, contact the district office, right?
Yep.
Okay.
They can submit a letter of interest, and or if they have any questions and want to talk to Sarah or myself or Mara, or any other board member, I think just to, if you're wondering about it and you've thought maybe you might be interested, just check in, let us know, and we'll answer any questions if people have any, and we'd be happy to visit with you.
Okay. Also tonight, you're getting the majority of your staff lined up for next year, principals, tenured teachers, and everyone, most positions filled at this point, or do you have more work to do on that front?
Well, we do have more work to do. We're still in a little bit of the hiring phase. We have some positions posted currently. As we know, the amazing Irene Littleton is leaving us, and so we're in the process of that, posting that position. We also have also on this agenda reluctantly accepting the resignation of Dan Tate, our facility maintenance director, who's done an outstanding job for the district. He'll be planning to leave after the end of his contract in June 30th, so we'll be posting that position as
well. He's also been with the district a while, I would say at least a decade or something.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's done a great job. So that's another big loss for us. So we'll be posting that position as well, probably this week, getting that out there. We have By contract, we need to post a fifth grade position that's being currently filled by Miss Carla Green because she was a kind of a temporary position that was, it was a late hire due to Sarah Dem's resignation later in August. So that's just by law we have to, or by contract we have to post that. So she may put in for the job still, but there are other people, it has to be posted publicly. So that's out there. And then we are adding our special ed position due to our increased numbers. We've discussed that a little bit. And of course, PE swim is out there because of our Mr. V leaving us. So we still have some positions, some work to do.
All right.
Yeah.
And let's see, you've got a couple other updates as well, Erica. You're going to be talking about the Alaska Reads Act with possible preschool service. It looks like that bill has moved a little bit in the Senate, mm-hmm. but it hasn't moved out of the Senate yet.
It hasn't. It's you know, they keep get. We were up there a few weeks ago, I guess. Mara and Sarah and I were just
in February.
The, yeah, and just kind of talking through the process of that. You know, the general consensus is that it is still, you know, it is moving forward in some capacity. So we are continuing to have those conversations with our local preschools. We are also continuing to look at, which we had already been discussing prior to this bill coming forward. Some different ways that we need to look at what's going on with our special education services for preschool children. We have Barb Marifern has been our provider and our teacher for that, and there's a lot to that in coordination with multiple preschools and Head Start locally. So we had already been discussing some possibilities there. So we're slowly moving forward with this, trying to do it in conjunction with conversations, you know, with our good beginnings in our local group, so that nothing is, you know, nothing's a surprise. We're just trying to be really upfront about all that and some possibilities, doing a little bit of research about what an integrated program might look like. They offer some of those in Juneau, where you provide a program for your special needs students as well as sort of same age peers. So it might be a way of us kind of dipping our toe into this in a slow fashion and meeting the needs of our special ed students as well as providing an opportunity for some other four-year-olds in the community without sort of damaging too much programs that are currently happening. So kind of slowly moving forward.
And
so,
just to highlight, that bill would mm-hmm. provide funding and require preschool programs in?
It doesn't provide funding in the first year. So
okay.
currently, if a program like, let's say, Juneau has established programs and they've been approved, they need to be a sort of officially approved by the Department of Ed. If they have been and they're taught by, you know, a certified teacher, all the other requirements that go along with that, then you do receive a 0.5 BSA. That's the, and this is the first time there's ever been any conversation about money being attached to preschool education. So even though there's some things we don't love about the way this bill has rolled out, I do think it's important that they have acknowledged the importance of early childhood education. So that's a huge step, I think, in the right direction. But, you know, it's difficult in small towns because we have some established programs, and so it's, yeah, just a little bit challenging. So, but there is funding available. You know, you have to be approved, and then there's funding available for that.
And does the local school district have space if that were to happen?
That's why we're moving slowly.
Okay.
If we did do that, it would be a small program to start, you know, mm-hmm. so we feel like we do have the space for that, so, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, student busing contract, another 5-year out for bid, and that's something that happens on a pretty regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
Any new or different changes with of course, we know Hoopy's moving on, but besides
I
that.
I know. We can't even really talk about that. Yeah. That's just like an institution in our lives, all of us. I don't know what we'll do without her. But, yeah, this is the 5-year time. And so we just thought that it would be important to maybe just kind of talk through, you know, with the board tonight a little bit about what that contract looks like. And currently it's through a local contractor, Stikine Services. We are on an island, so we're a little different than most places. I think other places have, you know, opportunities for different kinds of companies. And we've been very happy with Stikine Services. So we're very fortunate that we have a really a good working relationship with them. But just want to give some information, I think, to the board about what it costs and what the contract looks like and how many runs and, you know, just maybe to give people an opportunity to ask questions also if they have it, have any.
And how it's been funded differently.
Yeah,
over
the years, yeah.
Just historically.
Yeah, it's been, so the state does provide you know, a transportation reimbursement, but it doesn't cover the entire cost. And also, just to say out loud, that providing bus transportation actually is not a requirement in the state of Alaska. So it's something that is it's a service, it's a courtesy that we do provide, and like I say, we do receive funding for it, but it doesn't cover the whole contract. It doesn't cover things like activity buses that we run, doesn't cover extra field trips, you know, that we run, that sort of thing. So it's a courtesy, it's a service, and it's also about safety. You know, when I first came here in 2001, people were still driving people in personal cars, mm-hmm. which was a little shocking to me. Anyway, it was a little shocking. So, putting kids on buses to go for field trips is really what we should be doing. That's the right thing to do. So, anyway, okay. Just information about that.
Sarah, any thoughts on that or any other topic we've missed covering?
I don't think so.
Tonight's?
I think we're kind of...
Cover it pretty well. Okay.
Nobody called in to ask any questions, but I guess one last thing, but we just want to put out, I guess that we were talking a little bit about before coming on air. Yeah. It's just graduation is going to look different this year, and we're wanting to keep reminding people so that they realize that on graduation night, that we're moving the scholarship awards to a specific night. It's going to actually happen after, I think, is it confirmed to be baccalaureate?
Mm-hmm.
Two separate events that night. So baccalaureate will be first, and then the second after that will be...
you could go to one or both.
Yeah. So we just thought it would be easier if it was done on the same night. So if people are already out to baccalaureate, then they can stay, or someone wanting to just come to the scholarship one, they could, or mm-hmm. just to baccalaureate, then they'd have that option. It will also make graduation night not potentially last as long, but it also kind of gives an importance to kids that are getting scholarship to be... kind of in a more intimate environment than mm-hmm. in the gymnasium, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be kind of nice to have that separated out for many people for different reasons.
Yeah.
But we just kind of want to start that talk now because it's been like this for decades that, you know, you get to graduation night and you are surprised, but you have the opportunity to attend it separately.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Exactly. We'll have a nice ceremony for that.
Okay. Is graduation date set and all that yet? Or?
It's still on the Tuesday night. I don't even have the date in front of
okay.
me. It's Tuesday after Memorial weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Got
it. Not too far off.
And then I would think baccalaureate would be the that baccalaureate scholarship
it's
night would be
Tuesday the Tuesday the previous week.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So a week apart from each other.
Yeah.
Moving right along through the school year. Spring break coming up here.
Woo-hoo,
people
it's
are
happening.
Ready for it.
Doesn't look like spring, but it's a break.
Yes. Okay.
A March break.
Well, the meeting is tonight at 6 p.m. in the Middle and High School Library. Thank you both for coming in. You can
Thank
hear
you.
That meeting broadcast live here on KFSK. Street Beat Music is up next.